Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, encouraged in the process, encouraged in your love relationship, intimate relationship with the Lord in the place where you're being made, empowered in the fact that you're coming out as a winner, coming out as an overcoming every obstacle by and through the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus, but also seeing the demonstration of God in your life as he's shaping you and molding you for greater and more. As you're being trusted by God, you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. And that is victorious because it lets you see that you are no longer staying in the state that you're in, but you are being changed, that you are developing and maturing and producing after the kind of the Spirit, producing and looking like God. This, their place that we mentioned in the process of theirs, that Abraham walked. God called Abraham to a their place, and we understand that their place was for him to see what he's never seen before and to do what he's never done before, to behold that Jesus was going to be the seed that was going to come through all the generations of the inheritance of his people and be the redeemer, not only for them, but also for the Gentiles. Our faith walk is that walk that allows us to produce faith that shapes and makes and causes miracles, signs, and wonders. Galatians 3 lets us understand this, know that if we have the faith of Abraham, then we are the seed of Jesus Christ, and we have every promise and every blessing that belongs to us through Abraham. So we are we're in that there place. We're constantly being made, constantly being formed and shaped, and that will happen until the day that Jesus cracks the sky or we go and be with him. We're being made. He uses our everyday life, everyday situations to make us, to shape us, that as we apply the word of God, as we eat that word, as we live out that word by faith and obedience, we see ourselves becoming more like him. Going to the book of Proverbs again, we've been in this book for a while, most of this year, over half of this year, and we're going to go back to that book because the Lord keeps me in that book because he says we need wisdom because we've not known how to act and to how to handle things or behave in the right way in every circumstance. And he wants us to have that wisdom so that we will be skilled and know how to act in every situation, how to solve problems, how to handle certain things, what to say, what to do, no matter if it's in our home, in church, in the community, on our job, in our businesses, in a situation, no matter what it is, we will have the wisdom of God because we've allowed the word of God, his wisdom, his truth to go in there and set up living water that flows out of us just like he does, that causes us to have wisdom beyond our years. So that's what we want. This Proverbs we're going to be dealing with this week, today and on Thursday, is going to talk about thoughts. We're going to deal with thoughts. We're going to deal with thoughts. Proverbs 12 and 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. We said this, I went over this one time before, but I wanted to make sure we got it, that we really, really got this in and that we really understand what this is talking about, because there is always a counsel. The thinking and the principle of people makes for justice, and that the plot of the corrupt basically sets up a trap for them. And we want to make sure that our thoughts are what we do in our life, in business, in corporate, in anything that we do. We don't ever want to grab that which is corrupt and bring it in and try to make it be righteous. We always want to have righteous thoughts, righteous ideas. We want to make sure that what we do looks like God, produces God. So we don't want to have we want our thinking principles to be just, always according to the word of God, the will of God, according to his plan, his purpose, according to what he loves. We don't want to bring in plots and corruptions and things that are not of God and try to make it look like it is. We want to always make sure we do it the right way and we do it a godly way so that God is glorified, that he is He is the one that is uplifted, because our thoughts do matter. And they can be very deceitful if we don't grab a hold to them. And the person's thoughts determine what you're going to say and what you're going to do. So we want our thoughts to be thoughts that always gravitate to the word and the will of God. We don't want our thoughts, our heart, or our motives to deceive us. We want to always have the words and the attitude and the actions and the thoughts that are right. The words of a wicked person are basically like a deadly ambush. It's like a deadly ambush. And if we, the righteous, grab those words and run with those words, for us, we already know what that's going to happen. It's going to be something that the enemy will use and turn against us. We want to always have righteous thoughts, righteous attitude, and righteous behavior and conduct. Proverbs 15 and 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. That's Proverbs 15 and 26. And we understand and know that words are powerful, because the Bible lets us understand and know that out of our mouth, we have the ability to bind, we have the ability to loose, we have the power to decree and declare, to make known something, that our words are powerful. So we want our words to align to what God is saying, and we want to speak words that cause us to prosper and to win. The evil thoughts, evil words ensnare. Okay, evil thoughts and evil words ensnare. And we want to make sure that our words and our thoughts are always the words that causes the will of God to be seen and known, because the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, because they're always thinking of plotting evil, doing wrong. So God is not listening or looking. He doesn't want that. But the words of the pure, they're pure in His sight. The words of the righteous are pure in His sight. The words of the righteous are words that are supposed to be filled with grace, that are gracious words. And they are words that flow from the well of living water. They're words that flow from the mind of God's will. God can't stand evil schemes. He cannot stand evil schemes. And the enemy plots evil schemes continuously. But He puts words of grace in our mouth. He puts words of righteousness in our mouth. When we meditate on the word of God, when we stay in that word, when we think on Him, our thoughts, our heart, our motives, they are words that are gracious. They are beautiful. And these words are displayed in a beautiful atmosphere. They create something that looks like God. And that's what we want. We want what we do, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds, our motives, to produce righteousness. And that's what we want continuously. And I know that we are challenged on every hand. And I know that we go through on a lot of different ways, but we've got to make sure we discipline ourselves and move in the way that we say, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to act upon that. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it godly. And that's what we want. Proverbs 16 and 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I'm going to say that again. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And that's Proverbs 16 and 3, which lets us understand that if we put God in charge of our works, and that work, that is with everything we do, if we put Him in charge of that home, the marriage, the children, the finances, the church, the ministry, the career, the business, if we put Him in charge of it, saying, God, what do you want? How do you want it? What do you want to see out of this? How do you want to move in this? What do you want me to do in this? If we put Him in charge of it and give Him permission to take control, and we are led by Him, we're acknowledging Him in all of our ways. We're acknowledging His work, His will, His authority, His power to go in and make that thing prosperous, make it blessed, make it look righteous. When we do that, then we're saying, God, you're in control. We're putting God in charge of our work. And then what we plan will take place, because He's in charge of it. No way it can fail when God's in charge of it. That's not saying that you're not going to have trouble. That's saying that in the midst of the trouble, God is working. I'm going to grow. Something's going to happen. He's going to teach me something. I'm going to learn. I'm going to increase in knowledge and understanding. I'm going to see God in a way that I haven't seen Him before, because He's in charge of it. And He's allowing me to trust Him even in the midst of something that tries to make it look like God's not in control. God's hand is not on it. God's not moving. You have to understand that when you put God first, the enemy will always challenge you. Circumstances will always challenge you to see if you would take your hand and put it back up there. And now you be the boss of it. But when you say, God, I'm putting you in control. I'm trusting you, and I'm going to let you lead me and guide me. And as you're doing this, you're making me, you're changing me, you're transforming me, you're building my faith. This is what Jesus did with the in the Gospels with the disciples. Every act of miracles that he did, everything that he taught, he was building the faith of his disciples. So every single time they saw him do something, he was building their faith. Every single time you go through something, you face something, God wants to build your faith. He wants you to see him as Lord, as Savior, as King, with all power, with all authority, who has the last say so and is in control of your destiny. He's building your faith to believe the impossible, to know that he is faithful, to understand that his word will not fail you and that you are victorious in him. So that's what he wants, and that's what he's moving us in that direction, that we trust him more and more and more and more and more. We want what we think about to be established. We want our plans to be established because God is the one in control. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that hastes only to want. That's Proverbs 21:5. This scripture lets us understand and teaches us patience. It teaches us patience because it's telling us the Bible lets us know that we're supposed to pray always about everything, that we're not supposed to be hasty in what we do, that we're supposed to pray and we're supposed to wait on the Lord and we're supposed to wait for an answer, that we're not supposed to make moves. And I know there are times that we have got to make a decision right away. But that's where the very present help of the Lord is, that when we have to make a decision right away, then we need an answer, or we need to make a move, or we need to do something right away because something suddenly has happened and we have not had time to pray and ponder and seek the Lord on it. That's when God steps in right then. Wisdom steps in right then. The Holy Spirit steps in right then, and he gives an immediate answer because he's a very present help in the time of trouble. That means he's right there to give an answer. But there are things that we want to do and desire to do that we have to pray and ask the Lord, is this your will? Are you leading me this way? Tell me your strategy. Show me your plan. What is it that you want me to do? And he will move you in the direction. He will feel the unction of the Holy Spirit to begin to move you in the direction where you need to go, because you're not saying, I want to do this on my own. I want to do the will of God, and I want him to be pleased. So the wisdom that we need for that is right there, because we've allowed God to let the thoughts that we have to be diligent, so that plenteousness can happen in our life. And that can be with joy, with peace, you know, plenty of peace, that we sought God, that we didn't walk into something that stole our peace or took our peace or took our joy. It's more to it than just stuff. It's the things, the values, the peace, the joy, the happiness, that the things that help us live our life, put out the stress that comes to rob us, without the stress that comes to steal from us the things that God has already called. Plan and put our head, put thoughts in our head to look in the long run what's ahead. We don't have time to make decisions that are so quick that we haven't thought about, that we have time to pray about. And those decisions that we haven't thought or planned in the long run hurt us. We can't hurry and scurry to put the future and our thoughts for the future to the side. Everything we do, we are planning for ourselves, our children, our ministry, what's going to be best. And we cannot do things that cost us. We have to have diligent plans that lead to profit. We have to have plans that we've thought about, that we don't make hasty plans that lead us into poverty or lead us into lack or lead us into suffering or lead us in a place where we should not be. We want to make sure that every plan that we make is a plan that has been diligently thought out, prayed about, sought the Lord about, according to his will and his plan for our life. That's what we want. This is part of wisdom. We just don't want wisdom for anything, but even our thoughts. We're saying, God, give me wisdom with our thoughts and our plans, what we put our hands to, what we do in our life. Let us have good success. So let wisdom be there. Let you be in the head of this. Let your hand be on it. Let your hand be on me. Give me your wisdom. And that's what we want. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for this empowerment. And I pray that you've been blessed. And this is helping you. And this is helping you to learn how to get the wisdom of God and wait on Him and see His work in your life. God bless.